This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
You know, I guess I've listened to too much Merle Haggard in my life, because when I sat there and watched this new movie, Avatar, wonder if you've seen it. Watch the movie Avatar, and I don't mind films having a political message at all. I don't mind films having a political message that's controversial at all. But I remember sitting there watching this movie and then looking around and seeing all of the people standing up and applauding at the end when you have this just obviously contemporary political kind of a message going through. I'm thinking, do you people even know what this movie has been about? I mean, it's kind of a, you're running down my country, hoss, you're walking on the fighting side of me kind of reaction, even at the parts that you think, yeah, I agree with his critique. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and today I want to talk about this movie, Avatar. And the thing that's interesting to me is not so much the political message that's involved in it, and it was really poorly done, I think. I think that there's a way to do political propaganda that's persuasive to people, because they don't really get exactly where you're coming from, but they're able to see from the inside what it is that you're trying to say. This movie was so blatant and so cliche-ish in the way that it presented the political message that I just think it failed. But that's not what's most interesting to me. What's most interesting to me is the religious and theological themes in Avatar. And what I'd like for us to do today on the program is not simply to go in and say, well, Avatar's not Christian, let's bash it, James Cameron's done something that's so obviously outside of a biblical understanding of reality. Of course, it's James Cameron. This is the guy who gave us the Titanic. This is the guy who gave us the supposed tomb of Jesus. That didn't really work out, did it? So what I want us to think about today is, what does this movie and movies like it, I mean, the fact that people are watching these movies and resonating, at least in some way, with these movies, it ought to tell us something about what our culture wants, what the people who are going to the movie theater, what they really want to be true. And so I'd like for you to tell me, if you've seen the movie, how did the movie help you understand the kind of American culture that we're trying to reach with the gospel? Did it say anything? Do you think that some of the religious themes that are there in the Avatar movie, are they representative of what people in your neighborhood and people in your community really believe, or what they really want to be true? And if so, what can we learn from that as Christians? I want you to give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Have you seen the movie Avatar? If not, why not? Would you take your kids to go see the movie Avatar? Great special effects. Really historic movie when it comes to some of the special effects. But do you think it's something that we ought to take our kids to? Would you take your kids and just kind of explain it to them as you move through? Here's what the movie's saying, but here's what we believe. Or do you think we ought to say, no, let's not take our kids, let's not go see that movie? I'd be interested to know what you think. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I went to the movie. I know some of my Christian friends and brothers and sisters in Christ would say that was a bad decision to even give the money to James Cameron and so forth, but I don't think so. I think it was a good idea to go see the movie. I wouldn't take my kids to see the movie. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking with Ross Douthat, who is a columnist for the New York Times, who wrote an article about the movie Avatar for the New York Times and for National Review, in which he says that Avatar tells us about the new emerging American religion. And I'm curious to know whether or not you agree. What kind of religious themes do you pick up, not just in this movie, but in several of the any of the movies that you've seen lately? Do they tell you anything about what people really want to believe is true? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join me here on the Albert Mohler Program. But we are without Albert Mohler today because he, like President Obama, is in Hawaii, or Hawaii, as my grandmother back home in Mississippi would pronounce it. He is there on the beaches of Hawaii, but only for one more day. He'll be back tomorrow. And while he's there, President of the United States is probably just right on down the street on another beach there in Hawaii dealing with some really, really critical issues. While he's on vacation in Hawaii, President Obama is having to deal with all of the controversy around the attempted terrorist attack on that Northwest Airlines flight on Christmas Day, and all of the controversy that is coming along with Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano's comments about it, that the system worked, criticism that's coming in there, as well as the president's administration's refusal to speak of this as a war on terror and instead as a war on Al-Qaeda. Former Vice President Dick Cheney doesn't like that very much, and he's speaking very publicly about that in his criticism of the president. But he's got a huge agenda to tackle when he gets home, not only in terms of foreign policy, but also in terms of domestic policy. The health care bill will be going into conference here in the next few weeks, and that entire debate is going to erupt all over again, even though we pretty much know what form it's coming and that it will be probably voted into law. In the meantime, really disturbing news, I think, coming out of Plains, Georgia, hometown, of course, of former President Jimmy Carter. There was a doll hanging off of a Main Street building there in Plains that's an image of President Obama with a rope around his neck. I really hope that this is an anomaly, that whoever did this is found out and dealt with. I really hope that this isn't indicative of any kind of a renewed violent streak in American culture. We just don't need to even contemplate going down that direction again, in which people are not only disagreeing with one another, but disagreeing with one another in such a hateful, spiteful, kind of a satanic kind of a way. I hope this is an anomaly that the Plains, Georgia Police Department deals with right away and swiftly and with justice. But, you know, there are news reports that there are threats against federal judges and prosecutors that are going up dramatically. You have a federal judge or husband and mother of a federal judge in Chicago were killed. Associated Press writing about this, that there seems to be an uptick in violence. I don't know if this has anything to do with the economic situation, if it has anything to do with the way that American culture seems to be coarsening in the way that we're dealing with one another, but that is not a good sign at all. Well, speaking of cultural indicators going on around us, what's on the top of a lot of people's minds right now is not all of the hard news of the economy and terrorist attacks. Instead, it's getting away from all of that, escaping from all of that, and finding entertainment in the movies. And a lot of those people are going in to see a movie that is phenomenal in terms of special effects. You go into this movie, Avatar, especially if you go see the 3D version. It's amazing to look at the fact that people could create this kind of a world simply with clicks on a computer, working off of computerized technology in order to make these floating mountains and these pterodactyl type things and these trees of life and all of that present there on the screen in front of you, so much so that you actually find yourself believing that this world exists for a few minutes. But there's a whole lot back up behind those special effects in this movie, Avatar. A lot speaking and saying some things. It's presenting a vision of the world. Now, every movie does that. Titanic, James Cameron's previous blockbuster hit, did this. It actually caused even Christian people to stand up and applaud people fornicating in a car on a ship. And it caused really tough-hearted old men and women to sit there and tear up as Celine Dion comes on singing about this love between these people. Avatar's able to do that too, coming in and causing you to at least think about the possibility of a world that's alive. What I want to know from you is, what can we learn as those who follow Christ? What can we learn from movies like Avatar about what our neighbors and friends, sometimes even our family members, what they want to be true about reality. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And when we come back, I'll be talking to Ross Douthat, columnist for the New York Times, who says, if you pay attention to Avatar, what you're going to see is a new American religion, what Americans really want to be true, that everything is God. Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like him. Inside and outside, blew his house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, cause he ain't got nobody to listen.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about little blue people, big blue people, actually, like 8 feet tall. We're talking about some Smurf warriors who love nature and love each other, and all they want to do is to be left alone. But we keep messing with them. That's the movie Avatar, and it is right now filling up theaters all over the United States of America. What do you think we can learn from the movie Avatar? Why do people seem to resonate with what Avatar has to say? Do you think it's just the special effects? Do you think it's just the blue giant people? Or do you think instead there's something about the message of the movie that we as Christians ought to be paying attention to? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about what we can learn from the movie Avatar, if anything, 877-893-8255. But first, have on the line with me Ross Douthat, who is my favorite columnist, national columnist in America right now. And he writes for the New York Times, and he wrote two very interesting articles about Avatar. One in the New York Times called Heaven and Nature, and one for National Review Magazine called Deep in the Shallows. And he says there's a lot under the surface of Avatar that we really ought to pay attention to. Ross Douthat, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, one of the things, Ross, that I noticed in the movie, and I know you mentioned it, at least in the National Review piece, is the fact that the movie is not boring, as you say, but it's deeply stupid.
Right. I mean, look, James Cameron is probably one of the most talented filmmakers working in the world today, and none of James Cameron's movies are boring. I mean, this is a guy who knows how to make grab-you-by-the-lapels action spectaculars. There's a reason that basically all of his movies are famous, from Terminator to True Lies to The Abyss to Aliens all the way to Titanic. Avatar is 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and it moves. It moves fast. It's beautiful. It's immersive, even if you aren't watching it in 3D. But it also has a, you know, it has a pretty stupid worldview, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me, I'm an evangelical Christian, it reminds me of some of the movies that evangelical Christians have made, where there's so little nuance to the message that you get to the point where you know you're going to get to the point where the hard-drinking guy bows his head and prays to receive Jesus.
Right.
It was almost like that, except with a different kind of a worldview. But you see all of this coming. You're like, come on, this is just, it could use a little bit of subtlety.
Right, and what it does is it piles on, you know, lots of Hollywood movies have sort of left-wing cliches about the military. Lots of Hollywood movies have left-wing cliches about American imperialism. Lots of Hollywood movies have, you could say left-wing, but sort of pantheistic ideas about spirituality, where, you know, nature worship is good and bad old Judeo-Christianity is bad. What Avatar has them all. know, it's got its spirituality coming from Pocahontas, and it's got its message about war coming from anti-Vietnam War movies and so on. And it's all piled on. I mean, basically, in a way, it's like Dances with Wolves, except it's a fantasy where, you know, the Indians ended up kicking the settlers' keisters.
Okay. All right. Glad you said keisters on Christian Radio Rock.
I was pausing there.
Okay. Hey, Ross, you mentioned in your New York Times column about the religious theme of the movie as being pantheism. Unpack that for us. What does the pantheism look like in Avatar?
It's a very sincere portrait of a society that worships nature. And when you first encounter these 8-9-foot-tall blue people, they talk a lot about their goddess, whose name is it's either Awa or Awa. I'm forgetting the exact name. But so they have a goddess. So you think, okay, it's goddess worship. But then it becomes clear that really this goddess is the sum total of every living thing on Pandora, this planet where they live. So basically, it's the Gaia hypothesis, the idea of the Earth itself as a divinity to be worshipped. And the movie takes this very seriously, and at a certain point it starts giving it a slight scientific patina, where the scientific characters, the scientists, are trying to explain to the evil military guys why this is so important. And they say things like, well, this isn't just some dumb pagan religion. This is, you know, there's really this, you know, energy field on this planet that does all these mystical things and so on. So it's a perfectly sincere, essentially it's an apologetic for a pantheistic religion.
And it reminds me, Ross, a little bit of David Bentley Hart in his book on the New Atheism talks about how the old magic and the old paganism was really a form of scientific materialism, just a science that people didn't understand. You really see that in this movie. You've got kind of your techno-imperialism going right along with your old Earth paganism together, and they just kind of merge into this goo.
Well, right, and what it reminded me actually of is, and this dovetails with Hart's arguments, I think, if you read The End of Faith by Sam Harris, which is one of the New Atheist polemics, right, the whole book is just a long screed against organized religion, against Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and so on. And then he gets to the end and he starts talking about the wonderful, mysterious wisdom of the East, of, you know, Zen meditation, Buddhism, and so forth. And it turns out that this militant atheist is actually convinced that there is a kind of scientific form of religion. It just isn't, obviously, Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. But you get that in the movie as well, the idea that this nature worship is simultaneously more sort of pure and primitive. It's getting back to our ancient roots, and it's got the patina of modern science over it at the same time.
Mm. Now, Ross, you mentioned in your New York Times column that what we really ought to be paying attention to here is the reason why people keep making these pantheistic-themed movies, from Pocahontas to Dances with Wolves to this. You seem to argue that it's because people want that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy thing to say, the easy thing especially for Christians to say, is, oh, this is just, you know, those Hollywood liberals imposing their decadent values on the rest of the country, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, Hollywood is a particularly anti-Christian community, and it's a community that's more likely to latch onto a different set of religious ideas, let's say. But the fact is that people go to these movies, people love these movies. And if you go into the, you know, I think I use this line in the column, but if you go into a bookstore and look at the religion section, you've got shelves and shelves of sort of spirituality books that are focused on exactly this kind of pantheistic religion. And I think it speaks to a lot of aspects of modern society, our alienation from nature, because our lives are so technological and modern and so on. We pine for, you know, the nature we've left behind.
Hang on to that, Ross Douthat. We'll be right back in a few minutes to talk about what we can learn from this. I think he's really on to something that we need to pay attention to. Give me a call. What do you think we can learn from Avatar as Christians? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Sitting here on the radio talking about Avatar, drinking my Coke Zero and turning around, and what's all along the side? Avatar advertising on the Coke products cans. And, of course, they're tying in with all the McDonald's Happy Meals for an anti-imperialist movie. If there are imperialist movements out there, Coca-Cola and McDonald's are certainly at least part of it. But Avatar is making the cash and raking it in. And my question to you is, what can we learn from the religious themes in Avatar? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, with me on the line is Ross Douthat, columnist for the New York Times, who has written about the fact that Avatar has a pantheistic message, and it's not being imposed on us from the outside. He argues people really want to hear this. Ross, I cut you off a few minutes ago as you were talking about why people want to resonate with a kind of pantheistic theme. Well, what else do you see out there?
Well, I think the other, I mean, I've been talking about how I think it reflects modern society's disconnect from the natural world and the fact that people pine for what they feel disconnected from. Mm-hmm. But I also think it reflects a desire among many people, you know, the religious impulse doesn't go away just because people feel alienated from Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that pantheism, especially when it's given this kind of quasi-scientific patina where it says, oh, you know, it's union with energy fields and so on and so forth, I think it appeals to a lot of people who would never consider believing in the more sort of literal religion that Christianity has to offer. People who think, oh, you know, miracles, the virgin birth, I could never believe in that,
mm-hmm.
are more comfortable saying, but I am a spiritual person, and I'm happy to go on a religious quest that involves seeking union with creation, just as long as it doesn't involve, you know, believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because that would be crazy.
Yeah,
I think that's a very powerful psychological hook for an awful lot of people.
Well, what would you advise Christian pastors and churches as they're thinking about what kind of culture we're living in now? How should we take that into account in terms of how we engage with the culture around us, the way we worship, the way we speak about Christianity to questioning people? Is there anything we can learn from that?
Well, I mean, I think there are, you know, one thing to do is to emphasize or reemphasize the superiority, in my view, of the traditional Christian approach to the natural world. I mean, historically, it's not as if Christians have, you know, denounced the natural world as a creation of Satan and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christianity in the earliest debates explicitly rejected the idea that the natural world was somehow evil and so on. It's just that Christians have always looked at nature as more of, you know, it's St. Francis of Assisi's mm-hmm. idea of sort of a sister rather
yeah.
than a mother.
Exactly.
Nature is not our mother. It is our fellow creation. It's also part of God's work, and therefore it's something that, yes, you know, should inspire a kind of reverence because it points to God, and it should be, you know, we should be custodians of the natural world and so on. That doesn't mean, though, that we should be giving it our direct worship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's plenty in Christian tradition going back 2,000 years to draw on in terms of how we should relate to nature in a spiritual way that's healthy and compatible with Christian orthodoxy.
Yeah, you think about Chesterton's biography of Francis, and he talks about how nature worship had led to a kind of flight from nature in paganism that Francis was saying, wait, you don't have to run away from nature. We can redeem it in Christ.
Right, because that's the thing. If you go too far in one direction, you know, one minute you're saying you're going deep into nature worship, and then you come face to face with the dark side of nature,
mm-hmm.
the fact that nature, like all of creation, is corrupted by sin, and then you swing back in the opposite direction and get into sort of the Gnostic heresy, where you're saying, well, we have to, you know, nature is evil, our bodies are evil, we need to escape all of this material creation, and there has to be a way in between.
Ross Douthat, I appreciate very much your being with us on the program today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm wondering what you think, listeners, about the movie Avatar. What can we learn, and how can it change the way that we speak to our neighbors about what it is that we believe in Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What have you noticed as you're going to the movies or talking to people who do about what it is that people want when they try to escape? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're talking about more than just Smurf Warriors. We're talking about the gospel. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Actually, it's just my avatar. The real me is plugged into a pterodactyl flying around by the floating mountains. We're talking about Avatar today and about movies in general. About what it is that you see when you watch a movie, what does it tell you about what it is the people around you want to be true? And I think Ross Douthat is exactly right. It's easy for us to say, oh, Hollywood's anti-Christian. Oh, Hollywood's imposing some kind of an agenda on us. Hollywood wants to make money. And Hollywood will put out there whatever it is that they think will make money, and they seem to think that Pocahontas and Dances with Wolves and Avatar, the message there of nature as divine, that people want to see that people want to resonate with that. What can we learn from it? How should this change the way that we speak to people around us? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. On the line, we have Danielle calling from Baltimore, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Danielle, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I was calling because I did go to see Avatar, and I actually enjoyed it because I think I looked at it from a different eye. I am African-American, and I thought the people were, like, heathenistic at first. Mm-hmm. But then I saw that they had, a true nature about them that was goodness. Mm-hmm. Which reminded me that, you know, say, for instance, the avatar that came in, the guy, I forgot his name, say, for instance, if he was Christian and they accepted him in that peaceful manner and they could accept Christ, instead of what the army wanted to do, which was dismantle their whole civilization, take their resources, and speaking on, like, a missionary perspective, you know, I see that, unlike places like the Yanomamo in South America who were always killing, the missionaries were always getting killed. But I see that even though they were supposedly heathenistic and pagan, we were all pagan at one time except for Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And somewhere, you know, Christ can come in, but it doesn't have to be in the perspective of, look at these heathens, we're going to take their resources, or we're going to enslave them, and then we're going to slam Christianity on them. And that's where a lot of people, you know, have that perspective. Of why they don't like Christianity, especially minorities. They feel as if they were raped of their resources from their civilization and then slammed with Christianity. But when you see the nature and the goodness of the different people of that tribe and of that whole world, they were good people. And this is where a missionary can come in and peacefully tell them about Jesus Christ. Because in the Bible,
Danielle, in the movie, the missionary becomes the religion that they are, which is worshiping this Mother Earth being.
Right. I'm not saying that. But see, even though today in today's society, the missionaries go in and they do learn about the people's customs. They do learn about the people.
Yeah.
It's not done in a hostile situation as like with the Indians. There's like the Africans or it's like the Aboriginals of Australia. It's done in a way in which it is peaceful.
Sure.
I think that even though and from that whole movie, I saw that how the world is now, and if everyone, you know, came in a peaceful manner, Christianity still could have got spread, but it didn't have to get spread in such a hostile and antagonistic way. And
okay,
that's what I got from it.
All right. Well, thanks, Danielle. I don't think you were paying much attention to actually what the message was in the movie, though, because you don't have somebody coming in and kind of persuading the people toward some other point of view. Instead, he adopts their point of view, and their point of view is an understanding of nature itself as divine. That's not what Christian missionaries do. That's not what the Great Commission does. Now, I agree with you that the Great Commission comes peacefully, and I agree with you that the way that we ought to bring the gospel to all the peoples of the world is with an attitude of love and an attitude of respect in the image of God and an attitude of non-coercion. Yes, absolutely, but that's not what James Cameron is giving us in this movie. Instead, he's giving us a picture of humanity that is decidedly not Christian. Understanding of the noble savage, as Thomas Hobbes and others would speak of it in caricature, an idea that basically, if you just get us away from contemporary society and religion, that we're deep down just basically good, peaceful, harmonious people. That ain't the way it is, though, in the scriptural story. Scriptural story, we are all in bondage to sin and condemnation, and we receive that message from the outside, a message that at first condemns us in terms of who we are, but offers to us good news of the gospel. That's not what was coming through in Avatar. Now, I don't expect Avatar to give us a Christian message. I just think we need to pay attention to what it is that Avatar is saying. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have David on the line calling from Orlando, Florida. David, what do you think about this movie?
Touchy-feely church.
Okay. Well, how so?
Well, just, I mean, not without getting all that wordy. I mean, boy, you guys have been getting wordy with all of it. But just go right up to the thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. You just take the first couple of rules and regulations, and that ought to sum it all up, okay? Idolatry, that's the biggest thing.
Okay.
Numero uno with all of it. I mean, no matter what you've been talking about with any of these other people, it's all idolatry.
All right. Thanks, David. We've got Matthew on the line. Matthew, what do you think about this film?
Yeah, I thought that some of the characters in the Avatar movie were reminiscent of C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, you know, a lot of the characters prior to the fall, you know, there are alien life forms that
yeah.
C.S. Lewis he pictures on these other planets that the planet had basically had intelligent life but hadn't been tainted by sin.
Right, yeah.
And so, in a way, these beings were very in tune with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Where even, you know, when the character in Avatar first is introduced to the, you know, the woman that he basically falls in love with,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's angry with him for killing these animals.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason other than protection. She
yeah.
called him stupid.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it kind of reminded me of some of the beings that, like I said, were in C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy.
All right. Thanks, Matthew. What do you think about Avatar? We're going to talk about what we can learn from it here in just a minute here on the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, 877-893-8255. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I think that Hollywood is stuck on replay because we keep watching the same movie over and over again. I think there's a reason. The idea of the universe as being alive, the idea that we ought to worship the creation itself, that resonates with people. I think Ross Douthat is right, but I think that there's something we can learn from that. I think every Christian preacher ought to go and see a movie like Avatar and recognize and know that people aren't moving toward secularism. They're really not. We assume that the culture that we're living in is moving toward an apathy toward things that are spiritual. That's not the case. That is never the case. With people who are made in the image of God, we have to worship something. We have to have a sense of mystery about something. And what happens? Romans chapter 1. We turn from the Creator, who, after all, holds us accountable before Him for our communion with Him. We don't want to be in His presence, just as Adam and Eve didn't want to be in the presence of their God in a sinful condition. So what do? We hide in the vegetation. We hide in the creation. Even all the way in the end, the Scripture says that those who see the coming of Christ cry out for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them. We seek to find our comfort in that which is made rather than the Maker. That ought to give us a sense of empathy and a sense of compassion for people who are around us who are desperately longing for something more than just the everyday. And the problem is, I think, too many of our churches assume that all people want is more of what they're living with. And so we give them worship and preaching and counseling that is all just simply at the surface level of how to live better in the kind of life that you're living right now. But that's not what people want. When they go and pay their money to look at something, they want to see mystery. They want to see awe. They want to see worship. They want to see hope. They want to see the defeat of the powers that they believe are oppressing them. Now, all of that is skewed around, and all of that is twisted around, just as you and I twisted it all around to begin with. But it tells us something. Albert Mohler will be back tomorrow from his Hawaiian vacation, ready to talk to you about the issues that matter here on the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in.
Shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikalikimaka is the thing to say.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.
Melikalikimaka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas.